Denise Tapscott is such a glutton for punishment that she is back for a pre-recorded Super Bowl night episode that we're actually not shooting on Super Bowl night because we're off, you know, doing other things. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen. Holy, holy, holy fucking shit. Kirk Johnson looking like the Jedi that knocked at the door. Mark Abbott. Everybody's got laundry day, I guess. Me. I guess, you know, I'm dressed as usual. And of course, Denise looking as fabulous as ever. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are once again. So just to put a button on a couple of things that we were talking about last week. So we're talking about human trafficking. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it, because somebody tried, again, somebody tried to kidnap Tisha Campbell. And,
crazy,
you know,
crazy.
I got to tell you, I felt so personally, like, bothered by it that I ended up going down a rabbit hole, as I often do. And I took an online course on how to potentially help save people from human trafficking.
That's awesome.
Do you remember what it's called? What's the name of the site? It's
Polaris is the name of the company that basically put that together. In my remarks and intros for this particular episode, I will include a link for anybody else who's interested in taking it. It's actually already on my Facebook and Instagram stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so here's an interesting thing that I just kind of wanted to throw out there is trafficking and human trafficking in and of itself. You know, well, obviously there's the sex end of it, but then there's also the labor side of it. There's people who are tricked to coming to this country. And the next thing you know, they're being exploited. And then when they finally complain, then, you know, they're basically told they're going to get deported or something bad's going to happen.
Or go to jail.
Sometimes violence is a part of the equation.
Yeah.
That's one element of it. Then there's the element that really surprised me because I know we talked about like the whole scam and people like trying to kidnap people and everything else like that. But to be honest with you, some trafficking just ends up being someone that the person already, that the victim, I should say, already knows, and human trafficking is just what they do. And it's like this manipulation where it's like, you know, your parents are messing with you. Oh, well, you know, you can sleep here. Mm-hmm. You know, your boyfriend's beating you up. Oh no, I'll take you over here, you know? And it's that kind of thing. And it's like this whole, you know, finding people in crisis and manipulating them thing. And it's really, and of course, you know, you could kind of minimize it and just call it like, you know, it's basically just categorize it, say it just put it in the same column as, you know, like Iceberg Slim and what he used to talk about back in the day. You know, you can kind of pigeon it like that. But the truth of the matter is it happens everywhere. It's not just one particular ethnic group.
Right.
And it's something that people should just be more aware of. And, you know, the thing is, it's, there isn't a lot, unless you just happen upon somebody that you witness doing this. I mean, really the best thing you can do, and this is just what I got from the course, the best thing you can do once you identify it is actually what they actually recommend, that you don't necessarily call law enforcement, because what may happen is you may endanger the victim even more. You may actually, because the victim may, you don't know what state of brainwash or gaslit, you know, that the person may be. So you're trying to pry the person away from their trafficker, abuser person may actually make them have the reverse effect and may actually make them want to be with that person more.
Drive into that person.
Drive them more to it, you know.
Right.
So this is all stuff to sort of consider when you know, are considering that. And as far as the labor thing goes, you know, it, like, So they said that, like, if people working at restaurants might be able to bust somebody, like if their employee, if their employer is doing this sort of thing to the kitchen staff or, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was very, very, you know, and I know, Denise, at your muggle job, as you like to as you have introduced me to that term, which basically means, you know, folks are, you know, for full disclosure, you know, as, you know, Black writers, we, we also have day jobs. And
we have day jobs.
And that's what Denise very cleverly has nicknamed the day job.
Yes.
But your day job, of course, you know, you work in an airline. We're not going to disclose mm-hmm. which one because right. we don't need people bothering you.
Nobody passes. No.
No, exactly. No. Unless it's one of us. Anyway.
Absolutely.
You shall not pass.
Exactly.
but yeah, you're absolutely right. In the airline industry, we see thousands of people every day. So we have a specific training for human trafficking.
Yeah.
And we get every year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, that's pretty intense. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not quite the same thing as today we're going to have, you know, sexual harassment class or, you know, racial discrimination class, which right. frankly, you know, in some places they could use a lot more of. That's got to be, because me just taking the course and listening to some of these people's stories, because that's, you know, there's a lot of testimonials. Because mm-hmm. ultimately, it's believed that the survivors of human trafficking are the experts. They're yeah. the ones we should be listening to. They're the ones who are actually. A lot of them are actually out there in the forefront trying to, you know, pinpoint and rescue and mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah, and to educate other people too.
And mm-hmm. yes, exactly. Because once again, you know, the unfortunate thing is, it's like, when you're dealing with a victim of color, you know, there's always this sort of like, you know, obviously not with the four of us, but obviously there's going to be those people out there that kind of treat this sort of thing as if it's their fault.
Right.
As if they're yeah. not the victim, as if they did something to deserve their situation somehow.
Right. Or lead the right. person on or manipulate the perpetrator to yeah.
Right. So yeah, you know, just thought mm-hmm. I'd share that a little bit.
Yeah,
we have increased awareness, especially now because of the Super Bowl, because you have so many more people coming and going. Mm-hmm. It's a little supposedly easier to kind of try to sneak people through because mm-hmm. there's thousands more people than normal coming through in such a short period of time.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, so big events like Super Bowl or like around the holidays where they're just way more people that travel than normal, then we're definitely mm-hmm. more of a high alert to look for certain things.
Yeah.
Listen, I imagine when you mentioned that, you know, the Super Bowl and the influx of visitors coming through back and forth, mm-hmm. I wonder how heavy, I wonder what it would be like now with China and the Winter Olympics.
Probably the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's going, because I mean, in China, it's pretty much... Probably worse. Right. That's
probably
what I'm
way
saying.
Worse.
Because that's
way
an international. Like everybody yeah. coming.
Right.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then Los Angeles, we're getting the Olympics in a couple of years too. So this is just like a step.
Right. You're hosting the Olympics. LA is hosting
in a couple
Olympics
of years. And... Yeah, we are.
That's yeah. going to be either again. Really, mm-hmm. really good or really bad.
I know.
No middle ground there.
There's no middle ground.
No.
It's going to be really bad.
I'm going to say it's going to be really good because I'm the real optimist.
Right.
And sure.
I've seen your cover. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Touche, sir.
Gypsy but kisses to be fair, and voodoo wishes.
But to be fair, since we brought up China in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, I guess we'd be remiss to sort of not speak on how certain athletes may or may not have been planning some kind of, you know, while we're in China, mm-hmm. while there's all, you know, while there's mm-hmm. various human rights violations in all kinds of things like that. I think some athletes might have had it in their mind to do a little John Carlos or something along those lines, And Nancy Pelosi, of all people, turned around and said, we don't even have ambassadors out there right now.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing. I'm not I'm not quoting exactly, but the basic vibe was, don't do no super shit because I don't know what we can do for you.
Right. Especially Putin was there for the opening.
Literally, literally what she said. What she insinuated, I should say. Because again, I'm not directly quoting her, but that's kind of, I mean, that's one thing when you're a little kid and you're in the supermarket and your mama says, okay, don't touch nothing. It's a little different because here we are. You know, we're Americans. We're used to, if nothing else, we are used to being able to speak our minds. Even when we're, you know,
even when we shouldn't,
even when we're a racist fuck and don't know anything. Yeah. Right. You know, even when we're Joe Rogan, you know, and we're talking about COVID, you know, it's like, if anything, we've all been spoiled to the point where we can run our mouths. So here we are, because the ambassadors are, the U.S. ambassadors are protesting. They aren't there.
Are they out of the country? Or they
run?
They didn't show up. They didn't go.
They didn't go.
But no, but
our ambassadors are not there.
They're not at the Olympic, but they're not even in the country. That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
No.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, who's at the embassy then?
I think the embassy's still running.
No, that's what I'm saying. Somebody, but I mean,
Well, that's why they're keeping. That's why they're keeping Yoda's lightsaber.
Mystery solved.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call a comedy callback. But in the meantime,
basically saying that only Luke Skywalker could go to China.
Oh,
yes, that's exactly what. That's what Pelosi said.
Look here, man. Unless your name is Skywalker, you better stay your ass out of China.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, and to her credit, the Views Anna Navarro, excuse me, brought up a very good point a couple of Fridays ago. She said, "I'm not sure why the Olympics Committee is always sending the Olympics to some place where the government is terrible, like China."
Ooh.
It's like,
ouch.
Yep. Because let's face it, there are other countries that could probably use the boost.
Yeah.
Right.
There are other countries that could host and have the space and the infrastructure.
Yeah. Mongolia.
It's all good.
Mongolia.
Well, Morocco, maybe.
Ooh,
well, wait, for the Winter Olympics.
Did she say the Winter Olympics or the Olympics?
Well, I'm
because that's the other problem. You have in the Winter Olympics, unless you have a place where the temperature where you can make the snow or whatever.
Well, that's true.
You know, for outdoor stuff. Yeah. I guess that's the problem you're gonna have because you're gonna have to go someplace where there's ice and snow. So
I have a problem with the Winter Olympics already for that alone, because that literally cuts out an entire like half of the globe. Like all the people darker than a paper bag cannot be going to the Olympics unless they have a facility and a sponsorship from another country. Mm-hmm. They can go and do like Jamaica.
I knew you were going there.
I knew that too.
I'm just saying.
The Jamaican bobsled team.
The Jamaican bobsled who had to go and train there in a snowy place in America because they ain't got that shit in Jamaica. So no. So Cameroon and Nigeria will not be at the next Winter Olympics. Vietnam and Cambodia are not going to be participating in the Winter Olympics.
Has Canada
they get back and embarrass European nations.
Yeah.
All through the Summer Olympics. It's like, I don't even know why those motherfuckers go, to be honest. I mean, I guess it's nice to, you know, travel a little bit, get some frequent flyer miles or whatever. But you ain't winning the 100-yard dash.
Nice try.
That's the thing, Steve. You're not winning a 100-mile dash, but guess what you are winning? Performance equestrian. Archery.
You know, I don't know if they're winning archery.
Fencing.
I'll tell you what. That's I'll tell fair. You what.
Yeah.
I'm putting this out there right now. The next Winter Olympics, we should train for curling.
Yes. My sister loves curling. Don't, she
I
loves
said
curling.
You say we. Who are you talking about? I mean, I said what I said. We. And I'm not speaking French either. You heard me.
Curling.
Curling.
Curly.
He said we.
When was the last time ain't you that, saw it?
Ain't that the one with the stone with a handle and you just roll that shit across the ice?
Yes.
And you sweep.
That's what it is.
With the little broom. Yeah. That curling really facility here in Los Angeles. I can start training tomorrow. Yes.
Damn it, Denise.
Okay, so Denise can start training tomorrow.
Yes.
What are we going to do about the three of us, Mr. Abbott? I mean, your living room's a nice living room, but I mean.
I'm sure the Chelsea Pier Ice Rink got a quiet curling.
Is bocce ball anything like that? You like practice with bocce ball?
You try and practice with a bocce ball doing curling all night.
Kirk can be in charge of the uniform.
Thank you, Denise. Yes, I will be in charge of it. Yes, thank you.
No, I don't think that's a great idea. Anyway,
we're all dressed like with their pants. Yeah, yeah, with the tight leather pants. We're all dressed like Jedi and shit. Or Jawas, however you want to look at it.
Well,
because it's gonna be cold.
It's gonna be cold.
So you might as well wear something that's. So you might as well wear something that's stylish yet comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, that'll
representing
look like
the
Wookiees.
United States.
Beef, wine, and shenanigans.
Beef, wine, and shenanigans. Curly. Woo!
Why do I look like Jedi?
We have, ladies and gentlemen, we have the first podcasting curling team. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is going to do their curling while hosting a show. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans are here with Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson.
Yeah, you know what? I like that. I like how that's, I'm in. You've changed my mind, Mr. Abbott. I'm all in.
We will do the podcast off the ice.
If you find a place where we could actually learn curling that is within a 30-mile radius of where we collectively live.
Oh my gosh.
I still ain't doing it. So yeah.
My stars.
You gotta pick that sport that nobody would think you would do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, hey, we ain't doing bobsledding. Well, the three of us, I'd say that list is pretty big.
I think that's the four of us. Yeah. I can do fencing, and that's about it.
Okay. I can do fencing. I can fence too. And archery. Nice. I'll teach y'all archery.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Kirk could do the archery.
Well, I did do kendo. I did kendo for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, that's actually an Olympic sport too, I think. Kendo has been introduced into Olympic sports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's Summer Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And I'll just keep trying whichever one they'll take me. So I just go straight down the line. Whatever I don't qualify for.
The discus? Nope. High jump? Nope.
The discus.
All right. So just out of curiosity, I got to throw this out there. The most athletic sport you were ever actually good at. I'm going to start with Denise.
I would definitely say fencing.
Fencing.
I'm left-handed, and everyone else in my class is right-handed, so I won a lot.
So you beat their ass. That's hilarious.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mark,
most athletic.
Yeah.
I never played team sports when I was a kid, but I did play. I played a lot of street football.
Okay.
A lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite. And I still have the ball and shoes is bowling.
Mm.
Oh, nice. And that's a Summer Olympic sport, is that? Bowling in that too?
I'm sure there's a bowling.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Hey, I mean, technically bowling is supposed to be indoors anyway. So shouldn't that be any Olympics? I don't know.
I
that's a good call.
I would think out. So.
All right, yeah. Kirk.
I'm with Denise. Fencing.
Nice.
So you actually took fencing in school.
Wow. Not even in school. Like after school. Like I just took it out with an actual Olympic fencing.
Was it
instructor.
An epee or
foil?
Foil.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, I'm actually a little jealous of that because that's something I did want to do and I never got around to it.
You would love it. Yeah. You would love it.
Oh no.
My mother wouldn't let me take it. I actually wanted to take fencing in high school and she refused to sign the form.
Why?
Because she said she didn't want me with a sword in my hand. And I'm being dead serious. She was like, "No, you're not. That's a yet again.
You know, before your mom's you
fine.
It's called your mom.
Find out what it takes to be in the sport. You just completely kill that noise and decide. Oh. You know, no, you're going to do something else. And it's like
your mom was practicing self awareness. You know, she wanted to do something to make you to pick up that sword. It's down. She was doing the one thing that Boba Fett has not, which is be proactive.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well, you know.
That hurts.
What about darts? Anybody good at darts?
I was pretty good at darts.
Darts.
I can't imagine me being very good now. No, seriously. I mean, I'm dead serious. There was a time I was actually like, and my coworkers that would like watch me at the line is just kind of like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the fuck is the matter with this guy? Like literally, that was their reaction because I some people like they had like a sort of like I'm more like bang 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 bang,
right?
And I used to be pretty accurate, and they would all just be like, oh shit. So,
I don't know. You're just. You know, knowing you long enough and experiencing your pettiness, yeah, I think you still got it. You still have the abilities to pinpoint
stars.
The target, to pinpoint the object of your ire, and let them niggas know.
Steven's that cat that'll sit there and throw the dart backwards and have everybody thinking he can't play, and then all of a sudden be like, all right, Rollo, my bad. And you got the special gold tip.
Yes.
No, I had my own. I had my own. Yes.
See?
I had my own.
I know. You dangerous. You already got
flags in and everything.
Hand-eye coordination going on there. You're good.
He said, he got his Van Pattens out.
Your patent leather dart set.
Special shoes.
I'll be the one sitting at the bar next to Sam Elliott, like, you ever hear about Stephen Van Patten? Yeah, I was there the day he threw one of the greatest dart games ever. That man is a myth and a legend and should be highly respected. I'm Sam Elliott, and I'm telling you about Van Patten. That's how the documentary gonna open up.
It sure would.
It was a man named Stephen Van Patten.
Like a hole to the abyss opens up and shit.
He was an ornery man, a petty man, but he was good with his darts.
A highly skilled man.
And one day, Stephen rode into town unexpectedly.
Oh, and he got the cowboy hat for that shit too. He got the cowboy hat and the long coat, and all he needs is a patent leather case. Man.
The town folk were curious that day when they saw him. This man named Stephen Van Patten.
Next on the Book of Boba.
Theme music.
Hey, no, right? Pulling out darts and shit.
Stephen Van Patten, if that is your name.
If that is your name.
Oh, shit. And yes, folks, I brought this on myself. I totally did.
He would be in the Book of Boba Fett with exploding darts.
Yes.
I would have to be playing regular darts. And then all of a sudden somebody come and be like, I'm looking for Stephen Pam Batten.
Or wait. And then somebody makes that dumb mistake thinking they like take his darts away and just throw a pistol. And it's like, try to do something with that. And he just picks a pistol. You know, dart throwing is hand-eye coordination, right?
Darts will get you before.
Yeah,
I was sitting in the corner. I didn't even see him throw them. All I know is the dude had five darts.
Wait, first. Blazing Saddles. Wait, he's like Blazing Saddles, like this. See this dart?
Right.
To be fair, though,
this is the hand that he uses.
This is the hand.
Right, this is the hand to throw with, though. Wait, yeah. And you also said you it's kendo as well. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Kendo.
Kendo. Which
that's intense.
I remember, because it was around time I had actually just moved out. of my mom's, and I came in the house with the Chennai and all this stuff, and my mother just kind of looked up at me. She was like, is there some sort of war you're preparing for?
Well, define war.
Exactly.
Define war.
It's just something actually, I always wanted to do. And
that's actually pretty intense.
It was, especially the first time I got rocked, like really good.
Oof. Yeah.
In the head. Because, you know, that's a kendo. Like,
yeah, that's a hit.
That's a hit. That's a point.
Yeah. 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 I went to, I read about kendo and I was going to take a class, but I didn't have the money for it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I know you have to yell out the part of the body you're going to hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That's how good you got to be. Like, you'll yell out the part.
And do.
Yeah. So the dude hears you yelling out where you're going to hit.
The rest.
So you know where it's going to.
Men is here. Men is your head. And then do is like your basically your gut.
And remember, the other dude you fighting hears you because he can still hear you.
Yeah.
So you like saying head. So you're literally telling them where you're going to hit.
It's like you're calling your shots. Like,
and you have to be fast enough to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't actually block and then call out hand.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Right. And that is awesome. Shit.
That's like a training thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually like match somebody, you're just screaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what's good?
Like that Bruce Lee shit. You know, you're just kind of like, you're releasing the chi.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be good. You're taking your opponent off guard. Like,
you'd be good with Saber.
Yeah, you would.
I think so.
Saber's your
Saber, actually, like the whole body, head to toe, is a target, whereas foil is just like your torso.
Yeah. Right. Epee is actually the whole body, and then Saber is from your waist up.
Yeah.
So.
But I think they can get you in the helmet too, though, can't they?
Yeah, yeah. From the waist from the waist up to the head, waist and the head is Saber. So all that shit is a target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did foil, so I would like go into it. You're not gonna get me. Get my arms, not a target. Yeah.
The
sad part, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
If the three of us started taking fencing, some crap would happen in a bar. They would literally be like, somebody going to disrespect somebody. And the next thing, it's going to be the three musketeers.
Yes.
Porthos, Aramis.
Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
Athos, you're going to be sitting at home. It's like, this just in, New York City. It's like, three guys came into a bar.
Three masked Avengers.
It's like,
oh my God, Mark
and Denise would be on a plane on the way to New York, like the bride from Kill Bill, because we all got hurt. She got a list.
Yes.
Yeah, sure, yes.
Oh my God, yes. Mark, you literally just called us. I didn't realize until now. Yeah, we are the Three Musketeers. You are literally Aramis, Mark. You can't, dude. You're the closest one. Look, I remember the Bible was that shit that, you know, used to sits on somebody motherfucker's table in a hotel. That's what I know about the Bible.
Okay,
Aramis was actually a practicing priest.
Yeah, yeah. He was.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you are Athos. Athos drinks everybody under the table. Nigga come in with a barrel. Athos is there. And this is actually what solidifies it. And he can still kick ass.
Yes.
Regardless of how drunk Athos will be, he'll still be the most, for lack of a better term, for what I remember reading. Mm-hmm. And seeing, and one of my favorite ones, he's still the more capable and brutal of the fencers.
Because
Aramis is actually the most technical fencer. Mm. So he's actually technically good. And then I am Porthos because I am big and jolly and shit. And I'll just...
jolly.
Whatever, nigga. Whatever, nigga. Whatever.
So does that make me like a female D'Artagnan?
You know what? Either that or you're I think.
No, huh. I could see Denise, that whole sequence in the Three Musketeers where it's like, I'll see you at 3:00. Could we make it at 3:15?
Yes.
Because I already got a 3:00 appointment. All
right. Absolutely right. She'll do some shit like this. Oh, my sister has some ointment that'll actually do well for your wound.
What wound?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The one you're about to get on your left shoulder.
Wow.
No, Denise would be like, the one on your left shoulder. I have no idea. Wait.
I think so, yeah.
Where did you stab me?
and she's the most optimistic of all three of us.
Mm-hmm. That actually kind of solidified it. Not that that's difficult.
No, but you know, that's actually the Musketeers.
That's shit. Funny.
Oh my god.
No, my stars.
We got a movie to do now. I don't know how we're gonna do that shit.
Yeah, I know.
Right after the Werewolf.
Werewolf of Watts, yeah. We still gotta finish that. You know, we've been talking about Werewolf of Watts for a really, really, really long time. Exactly. Yes. Well, Mark. You and we should mention the fact that Mark's actually on Shudder right now.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah,
Mark.
I'm in
Mark is, you know, he's an award-winning actor. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Let's not forget that. Let's never forget. Mark is an award-winning actor. And the rest of us just act up. So Mark is in a movie on Shudder. Mm-hmm. Mark, anything you want to say about
I mean, the movie is called Slap Face. It's about a young boy who lost his parents, living with his brother, and befriends a witch, local urban legend, who starts to look out for him because he's being bullied. Mm-hmm. And I actually play briefly, but I'm there. Mm-hmm. I play the father of the boy's love interest.
Oh,
so I play the father of the daughter that.
So there's two black people in it.
There's three. Because he has there's a mother, there's me, and then there's the girl.
Mom, thank you. I can watch it now. safely and guilt free. Y'all seen Slap Face? You'll see Slap Face at work. It's like,
how do you Slap Face? Everyone's Slap watching Face. Slap Face.
Everyone's Slap Face. Everyone's watching. Hey, Kirk, does Slap Face have any black people in it? Yeah, nigga. Yeah, three of them.
Mark Abbott for one.
Ding.
So, no, it's a really good film, though. I hadn't seen it because it did its run in the festivals and had won a lot of awards. And then got picked up by Shudder. So
that's awesome.
How long ago was the shoot?
That was 2019. It was it was the summer of 2019, I think, summer, fall, like in between there when we wrapped. Mm. And then, you know, it came out during the pandemic. So
right. COVID. Right. So,
that's pretty great.
Yeah. I'm real happy for you. I mean, but
it's gotta be a little nuts because like I'm not like used to this sort of thing where it's like, I mean, you know, I've only been it, you know, my meager attempts at thespianism have just really been for Mark in
I'm sorry that's just call it acting. Thespianism is not a word.
It's a word today, you could use it.
Thank you, D'Artagnan, but Athos is thank you, D'Artagnan, but Athos does not know what he's talking about.
You'll be a thespian today. You'll be a thespian today. You'll be a thespian today.
Thank you, Mark and Denise. So I, you know, I did things. Of course, well, I did Reluctant Hitman, and I pretty much gave up after that. And then I was in your thing.
You were in Big Follow. You were in what you call it?
Maui.
You were in Patrick Devaney's. Maui.
Science. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't help
it. Yes, I was in Patrick Devaney's thing.
During the pandemic.
And during the pandemic, and the point I was trying to make, outside of go fuck yourself, Kirk, is.
You got no darts today.
I basically shot that here in the house, sent the footage to him. And then it was like months. I had forgotten I did it. And then the next thing I know, I'm online. I'm like, oh shit. And then I was like, oh shit, do I want people to actually see this? Because I'm like, all right, fine. And I let it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll let it fly or whatever.
Wow.
I actually brought myself to cry in that scene.
Wow.
And when Patrick asked me about it, I was like, well, it seemed like it needed some crying when I read the script, and secondly, this was the height of the pandemic when I was shooting this, so crying was actually not that difficult. So,
right.
It's like I just had to think about a couple of things, you know, and then off I go. So, you know, kudos to Mr. Abbott, because he is he's killing the game. I feel like it will not be long now until our dear friend Mr. Abbott is, you know, and he's already done some significant shit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
At least, like, I want to say at least two or three films with Devaney, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So.
Yeah, I've done, what was it, Impervia? And Impervia. Then Identity Check,
yes.
which is the one I won the award for.
Right.
Yes.
So.
And one night, to be honest, we should probably just do, like, you know, one of our episodes should just be a viewing party, because those aren't, like, over an hour.
Well, that would be fun.
That'd be good, yeah.
So, yeah, we should just, you know, do that.
I'd actually love that, yeah.
That would be great, yeah.
And then we'll, you know, because we get a nigga his flowers now, basically.
That's right.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was in a werewolf movie, a werewolf short. I was killed by a werewolf.
Wait, what? It was a short. I didn't see this. Okay,
it's an anthology called Theater of Terror.
Yeah,
and I was in the episode.
Is it on Amazon?
You know what? I gotta find out if Tom Ryan, the writer director, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on Amazon, but
it's not on your website, right?
No, because he was selling copies of the DVD of the Blu-ray. And but yeah, there was an episode in there called, it's an anthology, and there was one in there called Endangered. Yeah. And I played a guy who was, we were trying to save the wolves. Ooh. And went out into the woods, and I'm part of one of those, you know, we're here to rescue the animals kind of people. And unfortunately, the people who find us are not there. they like wolves a whole lot more than we think.
And, oh, no.
Yeah, I actually wanted to do that. I really had a lot of fun doing that because I've always liked werewolves. That's like my thing. So I was saying, yeah, when I was a kid, I loved
vampires.
Well, there's a vampire in the room, so
it's two vampires in the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those conceited motherfuckers. The motherfuckers. Yeah, I see them.
Yeah, all right. I'm the petty one. Remember that. I'm the petty.
Hold on, excuse me. My wolf brother's talking right now. Go ahead, wolf brother. Go ahead, dog. Do your thing, dog. Don't let these preteens start
that. I've always that's always been my thing. I mean, I know that's that. Cool. And not for nothing, I have to say this, Stephen. In the Brookwater, I think his Brookwater's Curse, is it two or three with the werewolf?
Two.
Well, is it two?
There's werewolves in all of them.
Right. But I think the
second one, I think you read from one night. One of the guys, you went through the origin story of one of the guys.
Yes.
Which was absolutely amazing. If you're a fan of the hybrid type series, that's a phenomenal section to that. I mean, Brookwater's Curse is terrific to begin with.
Thank you.
But that, I always liked that because being a werewolf fan. Then let me ask you, Denise.
Yes.
I know you play a vampire on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a classic monster that you were a huge fan of?
Well, definitely Dracula. Definitely mm-hmm. Dracula. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because, and by that, you mean Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Lugosi Dracula. Okay. Yeah, for sure. As far as classic ones go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second would be Bride of Frankenstein, obviously. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Those two.
Nice. I think I was disappointed with that movie when I saw it.
Bride of Frankenstein?
Only because, you know, because that was one of those films that they always showed that one part of her, like, after she is risen and then she does the scream.
Oh, yeah.
But it's sort of like the whole movie leads up to that. And it's one of those, I was like, I thought the whole movie was about the bride. I didn't realize it was about them making her and then unleashing her. Like the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an absolute classic horror film. Yeah, but it wasn't, I think when I first saw it, I was expecting, you know, it was going to be the bride running around the whole film.
Right.
And not
so what you're saying is, just like Denise, the Bride of Frankenstein did not get enough screen time. Because that's been my complaint, my only complaint about Vampire Next Door is I'm literally like that. I gotta be honest, there's been a couple of them where while I'm watching, I'm kind of like going through the line real quick just to see where the fuck you are, and I'm just like, because I ain't got all night, like, where the fuck is
that? I know. So. I'm seriously thinking, I'll have to ask the woman who created the show, but I want to make a spinoff for Tasha. That's so if I can get her permission, I'd love for Tasha to have her own show.
Or it could be somebody else entirely.
With the werewolf and Watts. No. There could be some vampires up in there.
Your dog brother, you see what they doing, man? You try to, you know, we try to have our own thing in the neighborhood.
You gotta have vampires. I mean, that's just, you know, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
See, them niggas is always trying to be up in our shit, man. They're always trying to get their fangs up all. They're always trying to get out their fangs all up in our
dog. You know what? It look, this plan. We do the werewolf watch. She can do the vampire Vancouver, and You know, she went up
to Canada. How do we get to Vancouver?
She went up to Canada for carnival.
What can it be? The Vampire Venice?
And then visited Vancouver.
Vampire Venice.
Venice is down the street from Watts.
How about Van Nuys? Yeah. How about Van Nuys? Yeah.
Van Nuys.
Vampire Van Nuys. Or the Vampire Venice Beach.
Vampire Venice Beach.
Oh, that'd be great. Wait, revisit the Lost Boys.
They're remaking that. I'm not sure I co-signed for that one.
Yeah.
Any black people in it?
Not that I
there
know.
Probably, there probably will be.
There probably has to be because of diversity. Because,
so, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll be bottom one. Line is
the
this.
Illusion of inclusion. It's always there.
Ooh,
baby.
Illusion of inclusion.
If you're going to remake The Lost Boys, mm-hmm. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you cast. Mm-hmm. But if the saxophone player dipped in baby oil doesn't make an appearance, it ain't a Lost Boys.
Cosign. Cosign. Cosign that.
Oh, my stuff.
I don't know where it is right now, or else I would just grab it real quick. I actually have an autographed picture from that motherfucker.
Do you?
I do. Because he was a guest on a nightly show.
Oh,
and,
yeah, sure he was.
And normally, shut up. Normally, I you know, because MTV used to be very strict about, you know, asking guests for shit and everything else like that. I went to the talent coordinator that booked the dude for the bit that he was in. The talent coordinator was like, Steve, it's not like I don't know you. I was already expecting you to just be up in there. Why are you talking to me? Go get your autograph photo.
Wow.
So I got it. He was cool. He, of course, you know. Age is catching up with him a little bit, but he still has like most of the hair. Yeah, the hair.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then now that I think about this, I never told Steve that when I was working on Law and Order, I had an hour-long discussion with why am I forgetting his name now? Because he passed away.
Hmm.
The head of the vampires.
Well, the guy that played Max?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. I mean, no, that makes sense because he was friends with
Sam Waterston. And I wrote a script that I wanted him to read because the part was completely made for him.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And
damn sure didn't tell me that.
I asked Sam, I said to Sam, I said, listen, I wanna kind of give this to him to read. But I don't know how to I don't want to get into that thing. And Sam was like, oh, no, I understand this other thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at my desk and Sam comes in the office. He said, I see you for a minute. And he takes me down the hall to the guy's dressing room. And he goes, Mark, this is, and why am I forgetting his name all of a sudden? But he goes, Mark, this is him. Mark,
wow.
There you go. Introductions made. And he walked off.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
and he actually did read my script. He read it and he really liked it. But I mean, it wasn't something that he gave me some pointers on how to fix up the character and everything. But not, I mean, nothing came out of it, but it was just the fact that I got it in his hands for him to read.
Stars.
And then when I went back to visit the set, Amanda Weiss was the district attorney on the show. So then I got to meet her.
Oh, wow.
Who's the mother of the boys.
Sorry, isn't that Diane?
Diane Weiss.
Sorry.
Diane
I'm sorry.
Weiss.
No, it's all good.
Amanda Weiss, that's what's her name from Fright Night, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Amanda Burse, I mean, is from Fright Night.
From Fright Night.
But yeah,
it's
that
a matter
was
Charlie. Don't you want me anymore?
That's a really great vampire film.
Yeah,
it is.
That is a really, and even the remake, was really good.
I was very surprised.
I was skeptical about that remake.
Me too.
But
with Colin Farrell.
Farrell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And David Tennant
and McLovin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I forget his name.
Played Evil Ed.
The twist where Evil Ed gets done at the beginning of the flick, that was actually fucking scary.
Yeah.
It went complete, because you know, a lot of these remakes, I hate to say it. Actually, I don't really care. I hate to be like, you know, overly critical, but the thing that always bothers me about these remakes is that a lot of times they're practically shot for shot, the exact same fucking movie.
Instead of
somebody that's a substantial actor, then it's like a bunch of underwear models.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because we're so obsessed with like looks now. And it's like, you know, it's like, and I've always said, it's like, well, where the fuck are the Shelley Winters and the Ernest Borgnines of this generation? You know, motherfuckers that can act, you ain't necessarily trying to holler at them.
But,
you know,
but they can
their talent.
And they can be a great story. The scenery and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, talent. Just, like everybody's attractive. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, in my second novel, they're not going to be attractive.
Oh, shit.
Specifically. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm serious. For reason for truth.
I believe it.
Ernest.
So, yeah, that's the thing that always bugs me. And, you know, and then I hear about the Lost Boys being remade and whatever. Yeah. And it's like,
because weren't they doing, I heard something about they were going to do the Frog. They were going to do the Frog Brothers, but they were going to make them girls.
Yeah.
They weren't going to be related. It was like a literal gender change of the characters.
Frog Sisters.
Which I mean, my thing is that if you're going to do that, put them in that universe, but make them separate. Like, because you've already established a story.
Yeah.
For that, so now to try and change it.
Right.
To then try to, because I don't know how do you explain that then. So then what, nothing, the stuff that happened with Haim and.
Just do it a whole different storyline and just stop fucking trying to just marry it to some earlier property.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Just, they'll call it the Lost Boys. Call it, you know, like, I don't know.
I really would like them to explore, because I had heard all these different theories about how, the Lost Boys universe, like the grandfather knowing that there were vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had heard that you know, that he was always going to see the widow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That the widow's husband got turned into a vampire and he killed him.
Ooh.
And that's why he was always going to see her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like And, you know, and even, you know, Mr. Saxophone himself, they said that he was supposedly a vampire hunter. Which would have been interesting as well to.
Does that mean the reason why he's all slicked out is because it's protection goo? It's protection goo?
Is it mixed with holy water or something?
Right. At that point, you know, I remember seeing the Lost Boys and getting all that, you know, the lore about, not the lore, but it's kind of like I married it already to, you know, After Dark, I think it's called.
Near Dark.
And vampires with James Wood. And all that madness that goes on in the Southwest and crazy shit like that. I was oh. All right, that makes sense. I didn't even think about having another. I don't know. That's just me.
Hmm.
Like, but you know why they called it the Lost Boys? No. Because
I think you told us
the original story was supposed to be that they were part of Peter Pan's crew.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, that's so cool. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's an interesting take on
Peter Pan.
Totally.
Being a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
It was just turning everybody
into vampires.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
But
literally.
But no, think about it. Wasn't the mother's name Wendy? In the Lost Boys? What was her name? Wendy?
Smartphone activated.
Okay, look it up.
Yeah. Interesting.
Lost Boys, come out and play.
I still,
Denise, you've seen the Warriors, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what I want to do.
See,
okay.
Diane West was named Lucy.
It was Lucy. Okay,
Lucy. Okay, my Dracula is Lucy.
So I told these cats. I want to do, so you know how people do like fan films and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do an insert for the Warriors about the gang from Staten Island. Because no one ever talks about the gang from Staten Island.
Because they're called the cops. Because that's the NYPD.
Because think about the fact that these cats had to get on a ferry first. Right. To come to Manhattan. Like half the movie they had to like them just travel. trying to get to New York. Right. And then once getting to New York, trying to get uptown on the number one. Because you know that's the only train they would know how to.
I actually would rather watch. I'd rather see the movie that it was based off of.
What, the book?
The Warriors? Yeah, the book and the book and the movie is based off of. Trying to remember
Greek story, isn't it?
Yeah, about the it was Greek mercenaries. Mm-hmm. Oh. After it's not Cambyses, but. It was the death of one of the Darius, I think it was one of the Dariuses. Mm-hmm. After his death, the Greek mercenaries had, you know, they lost their employer pretty much. Mm-hmm. So they had to fight their way back from Persia back to Sparta.
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember the name of the book. There's actually a book on that as well. Mm. And I'd rather, just because of who I am, I'd rather see that instead of
the war. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see what happened with the gang from Staten Island. I want to know how the entire Gramercy Riffs got into cars and drove from the Bronx to Coney Island in the 70s and not a cop in New York City noticed that there's a caravan of brothers.
All dressed in black t-shirts.
All in black, because you know they did not take the train. Right. They drove down. Oh.
That's true. They weren't on the train because then they would have run into everybody else.
That's
a very good point.
Forgive me for going dark on that. So the homeless situation has been going on for a long time, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of subway tunnels that were defunct. A lot of tunnels that just aren't being used. Mm. They could have just traveled through the underground subway systems.
In the shootout,
even in the 70s, man. Homelessness was a thing.
On foot.
On foot,
that's a lot of walking.
That's a lot of walking.
And get to Coney Island in time.
In time for all that.
They beat them when they got to the beach. They were already there.
Although, they probably got a subway system on there. You know they probably got a subway system.
All right. You know, I'm going to stop all of you right there, not just because we're running out of time, but also, not for nothing, that made no fucking sense. The fact that everybody's standing there, they having this one-on-one fight, there's a knife throw, there's that, and right. Then all of a sudden, 8,000 black men in fucking black t-shirts are standing there like they basically were teleported. Or like, you know, somebody fucking found the Infinity Stones and brought them in from fucking Wakanda. Like that, if you gotta be honest, that made no sense. And on that note, that's our episode. I want to thank my compadres. And hey, if you're at all in a situation where you recognize something that may appear to be human trafficking, the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-373-7888. So that's our being, you know, beef, wine, and shenanigans conscientious. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Denise, again, for joining us for more of this craziness.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gentlemen.
Look for that cover.
Even though y'all ain't shit. And,
come on, Athos.
Well, you know.
After you got us fucking laid out and drunk on Friday night. What the shit?
Yeah.
Hey, I can't.
Hold on. I still got a tick.
Oh, my gosh.
You grown, man. Anyway. Good night, everybody.